is something as simple as getting a King Air job, sitting right seat, right, changing the radio frequency, you know, at 300 hours. And that leads you to knowing the other guy in the hangar that owns that CJ. And his pilot just got hired at the regionals. And, you know, the guy that owns the King Air and the CJ guy are buddies. And now you're in. You're off and running. It could be something that simple.
Hi, welcome to the Pro Pilot Playbook Podcast. I'm Mike Martin.
And I'm Sean Ritchie.
And we're going to give you the tips, tricks, and hacks to become an airline pilot faster and cheaper. Today, we've got a great episode for you. And you might have saw from the title, it's how to make airline money as a corporate pilot. And this is going to be a cool episode. We've got two questions that really tie into this. That one's a video question, one's a text question that people sent in that kind of tie into it. But, you know, just to give the background, in general, airline pilots make more money than most corporate pilots, especially long term. But there is some ways that you can increase your earnings as a corporate pilot. And we're going to touch on that today. So we've got a video question. Remember, when you send in your questions, if you send a video in, it certainly increases the chance of it being played live, because, you know, typically those are good questions and they're better for our YouTube viewers, which is our primary platform for this podcast. So Sean's going to introduce a question from Brian Howe, and it's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, we should have prefaced, you know, a little bit, and it is, we'll make sure to put this in the title, but when we say, you know, make airline kind of money as a corporate pilot, we're really referencing that, you know, the major airline guys, the guys pulling down, you know, in that last 10 years of your career where you're making 400 grand a year.
Right.
Yeah. So that's really what we're doing here. And actually, Mike, after we also have another email question that's almost the same. And actually, I should also mention, just to back up another notch, you know, we almost did this in this same type of thing just a few episodes ago, in episode 78, where we had two video questions. The guy's talking about buying a type rating on speculation to do contract work and stuff like that. And so I had a little thought after we do this video question and read this email. I have a little thought we could morph this thing into something a little different. Maybe how, but let's get to the video question here.
All right.
And I see your Pro Pilot Playbook shirt. I'm dressed down, but also Pro Pilot.
Oh, man, Playbook. You're geared up, man. No, that's good.
Yeah, just a t-shirt. Love it. Yeah, that shirt looks much better. Let me see if I can find this video. All right. Here we go. This is Brian's question.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Sean. I want to start out by saying I absolutely love y'all's podcast, and I am a huge fan. I think I've listened to every single one twice while I'm working, so thank y'all for that. I want to give you some brief background. I'm 27 years old. I live in Memphis, Tennessee. I was born and raised, graduated from the University of Memphis with a degree in finance, decided I did not want to sit behind a desk and my whole life, so I started to flirt with the idea of pursuing aviation. Fast forward to about 2021, got my private pilot certificate, and then stopped for a little bit. I started a commercial landscaping company here in Memphis with the intentions of selling it later, and it's actually doing very well, so that's been taking up a lot of my time. I decided to go ahead and get my instrument rating. I've been working on that for about a year, and I've got my check ride scheduled. So I have finally decided that aviation is something that I want to pursue, and I want to pursue it as a career. I plan on, as soon as I start commercial, accelerating it and flying 3 to 4 times a week to get this done as quickly as possible. I've started to look at career options. I know I have the airlines, charter pilot, you know, CFI, everything. But I was on YouTube and I was going through some videos, and I know that Sean, you've got a lot of experience with this, and Mike, I believe you do too. But I came across a gentleman that is a contract pilot, and he charges a normal day rate, which I know that y'all have talked about in your podcasts, anywhere between $500 to $200 or $2,000, depending on the jet that they're flying. My question is, if that is something that I was interested in, what would be the best route coming out of CFI? how would I go about getting into that line of work? Obviously, I would need type certificates, which y'all advise not to pay for yourself, to make myself marketable to these people that are in need of contract pilots. How would I get those type certificates and basically start running my own business as a pilot, doing contracting work, charging these day rates? Any information that y'all can give me would be greatly, greatly appreciated. And I absolutely love this podcast. I'm going to say it again. I've recommended it to a ton of people, even people that are not pilots, that now they're considering being pilots because of you all. So I really, really, really do appreciate it. And if y'all have already answered this question, just shoot me an email back and let me know which episode to go re-listen to for the third time, and I will do it. So thanks, guys.
He's great, man. I love the compliments, man. Everybody loves flattery.
Yeah. Well, what's crazy is we're getting so many emails, Mike. I mean, we need to hire an office assistant or something, because
you never know. I mean,
sometimes the emails are so simple that it's, you know, we can answer it with a quick response. Some of them are like, you know, a novel. You got to, you know, it is inspiring. I mean, people are sending us all their stories and everything of getting into aviation, and I don't know.
Right. It's really neat. So this is a good question. If you don't mind, I'll take this one first. So this contract pilot question, it comes up constantly. It comes up in emails. We did an episode about it, episode number 78. It comes up in our earlier videos. We talk about it. And in our live coaching, almost every week, somebody's asking about this. And I see the attraction. I mean, when you hear about the day rate that corporate pilots make flying, it really is staggering, right? You know, he is kind of right. He set a range of 500 to 2,000. It can be even much higher than that. You know, now a lot of light jets, so most they kind of categorize business jets in three categories: small, medium, and light. I'm small, medium, and large cabin. And you know, small cabin now, maybe you could almost get $1,000 a day, and that's every day, not just the days that you're flying. So if you go on a 5-day trip, which you fly somewhere, sit for 3 days, and fly back, you know, you'd get $5,000. Midsize, 1,500 to 2,000, and then you know, it could be 2,000 to 3,000 for a large cabin, or maybe more if it involves international travel. Some companies pay different, whether you're a PIC or an SIC, and all that's negotiable by the pilot. So the money's insane. So people are like, "Wow, this is, I'll just do that," right? But what they don't think about is what the incredible cost associated with being rated in these planes. And one of the reasons why companies pay so much per day for these pilots is because they don't want to hire another pilot, a third one or a fourth one, to fill in, because they have to train them. And the bigger these airplanes are, the more expensive their type ratings are. Some of these large cabin type ratings are over $100,000 to get for training. And then the recurrence can be $50,000. So the employer is buying two things. They're buying your time, but they're also buying your currency and ratings that you have paid for. So what you really see is there's very few corporate pilots that they're just contract pilots. The reason why is the fixed costs are so high, right? If you're like, "Well, I'm going to fly a G650 and make $3,000 a day as a contract pilot," okay, well, you got to shell out $100,000, you know, for the type rating, and then, you know, whatever, $40,000 or $50,000 a year annually for a recurrent. I mean, that's a ton of overhead. You'd have to do, you know, a ton of trips just to break even, right? So where the money is at in this, and that's why, you know, we titled the video "The Way We Did," is you get your employer to pay for your training and keep you current. And then when you're not flying for your employer, you get permission from them to fly for other operators. And some companies say, "No, we don't allow you to do that because of liability," and that happens. A lot of big companies are like that. But, you know, a lot of companies allow it. And the reason they allow it is they use contract pilots themselves. So, you know, they look at it as we're all helping each other out, right? We may need a guy, so we're going to share our guys with their, you know, this other operator, because we may need their guys. So everybody kind of works together. And then you can get agreements in place, you know, so that you're not liable if something happens and all that. But long story short, it is a very real thing. So how you can make airline pilot captain money as a corporate pilot, and I mean, we hear stories all the time of people doing this. If you have a really solid corporate job that pays you well, but you don't fly very often, and you're motivated, and you get on these Facebook groups and other aviation websites, and you either solicit or put yourself out there to do contract work, you can draw your regular salary, which could be, you know, well into the six figures, and then on top of that, get $2,000 to $3,000 a day flying in your off time. Right. And everyone's happy as long as those where you got to be careful is you can't let these contract trips interfere with, you know, your primary employer's trips. And most people that hire contract pilots understand that, you know, if you agree to do a 2-day trip and it turns into a 4-day trip, they and you've got to fly for your regular company, then it's up to them to make arrangements to get you home and find somebody else to finish your trip because your priority is with your current employer. So long story short, great question. It is a great opportunity, but not necessarily in the way that it may seem. It seems right. like it could be a full-time thing, but in reality, it's more of a very, very lucrative side hustle is really what it is.
Right. You mentioned the Facebook groups and finding these things. There's groups just for, you know, if you're in the Challenger 300, like you fly, Mike, there's a Challenger 300 group where if somebody needs a contract guy, they'll post on there, hey, got a trip to Miami from Miami to Atlanta. I need just Saturday through Monday. Is anybody available? You know, and it's like a, you know, big chat group in there. Everybody's like, well, you should call this guy, you know, or have you talked to so-and-so? You know, so there's that kind of conversation going on.
What I would add to that real quick, Sean, that gets your foot in the door because those operators that are putting that stuff on the internet for anybody, that means they have nobody. But normally, most operators have a list of guys they really like that they, you know, once you get your foot in the door, they're like, we need a fill-in guy. Well, first we'll call Dave and then we'll call Sean and then we'll call Mike. And if they're not available, then we'll put it on the internet. If you get a couple companies that really like you, you know, they may be calling all the time to see if you can help, you know.
Right. The other thing that always comes up with this and Brian mentioned this, you know, how do I go about getting these type ratings to do this? And the reason why you just said all this, it's a side hustle thing. It's not necessarily, you wouldn't, even if you had the money, and I think we mentioned this in the other video, even if you had the money to go out, somebody's got a beach jet or a Premier jet or a CJ sitting in the hangar and you've talked to this guy that owns it and says, yeah, I'll have you out to fly it. If you were typed in it, I would definitely hire you as a contract guy.
Right.
Even if you had that kind of thing hanging in the wings to go do, and then you go pay for this type rating, which cost anywhere from $30,000 to $60,000. You go get this type rating. You know, there's no guarantee now that the insurance company is going to let you just willy-nilly go fly this thing.
The reason why, if you're just a CFI or something.
Yeah, and you're a low-time guy that just went and bought a type rating on their own, and you haven't got any time. There's a difference, you know, now you're talking two different times here, too. You're talking total time of your pilot experience in general, and then time and type. The reason why this contract thing works so good for the guy that's already flying one of these airplanes is because he's got, you know, a few hundred hours or maybe even a couple thousand hours in one of these machines that he's doing the side hustle in. It doesn't necessarily work for just collecting as many type ratings as you can and jumping around doing this as a side thing. But after I'm about to read this next email, I thought after Brian's question came in, I thought, you know what, since we already kind of answered this, what if we took this show and made this kind of a step-by-step to, let's say we answer Brian's question in the fashion of how could he do this? Okay. Yeah. This is something guys do as a side thing, but let's say you wanted to do this. How could you do it? And, basically I'm going to lay down after I read this next email, I'm going to lay down a step-by-step, a roadmap of what I did, how I kind of got into this management thing myself. Okay. And I'm going to give you the better way to do it than I did. You know, if I had to start over again, basically, is That's how great. I'm going to give you guys the information. But this was inspired by Adam's email that came in, which is asking kind of a similar thing here. I'm going to morph it into being a similar thing. Hi, Mike and Sean. I've been loving your podcast and YouTube channel. I've got a question that stems from one of your podcast episodes, the Skip Your CFI, which is one of our most popular episodes ever, where Sean talks about the aircraft management company he started. That episode has inspired me to pursue the same path. I didn't even know I wanted to be a corporate pilot until a few months ago, despite having been a private instrument rated pilot for the past year. As a current business owner, I know that I am unemployable and really don't want to be a W-2 employee for anyone else. I'm not too worried about getting in front of other pilots and airplane owners to build up my experience and earn some type ratings, even though I only have 250 hours today and complete my commercial check ride in the near future. Let's see. I'm dogged in my determination to chase what I want and to find clients. I don't think he meant to say dogged, but I'm looking for resources to help me understand how to start an aircraft management company. There are limited resources unless I begin beating down the doors of other aircraft management company owners, which I am willing to do. Is this an episode worthy for your show? I'd love to know more about considerations in operating an aircraft management company, what services you offer your clients, how you find pilots when you can't fly or don't want to fly, and how you structure the economics of it. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Adam. Okay. So, great question, Adam. Thank you. Coincidentally enough, I don't even know if I, whatever, we'll say it. Actually, this whole thing was kind of when the ProPilot Playbook was in its infancy, when we were getting this thing together. It was actually the idea of teaching this very thing to other professional pilots that were a corporate, was a corporate guy for like a one aircraft flight department, teaching them how to structure it to where they could do exactly what I'm about to say right now. And then we realized that's not helping many people. It's going to be, you know, it's a very limited audience. It was actually Mike's idea to make it into what it is today, helping people get into aviation and everything.
Yeah.
But anywho, so if I had to start over and I had no interest in going to the airlines and I wanted to but I wanted to make that major airline kind of money, here's what I would do. I would go find an owner operator or somebody that would employ me as their pilot. This is, I would seek out somebody, a company that has like one jet.
Mm-hmm.
It might be easier because if there's not another person involved in this situation, so maybe I would seek out somebody that, had a single pilot jet. However, that's becoming more and more rare. And in order to fly single pilot now today with the insurance companies, that would be very pricey for that owner to be able to insure you unless you had oodles of experience.
Yeah.
So I would find that company. And then what I would do, instead of being their employee, I would structure my employment. I would tell them, hey, instead of me being a employee for you, what if we set this up as I will manage your aircraft? You can pay me a monthly rate to manage the airplane, and I would have a management agreement in place for this situation. It basically, what that means is aircraft managers, you're taking care of everything for the airplane. Basically, you're running his flight department, but you're not his employee. He would pay you a monthly rate for that, and then you could set it up to where either part of the management agreement, he gets so many flight days of your time, or you could straight be fly it on a contract basis at a daily rate. So then I would have a second agreement, a pilot services agreement in place to where I'm flying his airplane for him. This is all as a contract pilot, a 1099. The advantages of to him, he doesn't have a high-end employee. He's getting all these services cheaper, but he's got to know going into it that every now and then it's possible you won't be the one flying his airplane because you're going to be doing this with other airplanes too. You could work out in this management agreement, a training. So much money goes towards training. If you're not already typed in the airplane, and we're talking about an initial type rating versus just recurrent, that can get tricky. You know, you might have to do it more on the, you know, price range of what a recurrent cost, and then you eat that first initial type rating. But you could do this all day long, and I would say just by yourself, you could handle, as long as guys aren't flying. If somebody flying 150, 200 hours a year, I would say you would be able to handle two airplanes easily, maybe even three airplanes by yourself before you start getting into trouble all the time, needing other guys to fly for you. I mean, you'd be busy, but you'd be making some dough. But that's right. How I would do it. And then as you start collecting these type ratings, if your guys aren't flying, if you get lucky and you get the guy that probably shouldn't even own an airplane because he only flies 60 hours a year or something, if you get that guy, now you could be out there really busting your butt, flying contract after contract. And, you know, you could get other guys, you could create a network of other guys with the same type rating, and you'd be surprised how much money you can make at that game and how quickly you will accidentally, that's how I accidentally ended up owning a management company.
Yeah. I mean, next thing you know, you're drawing several salaries from several different sources, and it gives you more diversification. You know, if one owner gets out of aviation or something, you're not totally screwed. You know,
right. That's why it's important to not only, so the contract thing, the contract pilot, that's just going out and flying somebody else's airplane. What I'm talking, and that actually is a good primer to get into the management company stuff, because you may be out there doing that contract job because this guy's pilot just ran off to the next shiny object. So now he can say, well, you know, I really liked having you out, Mike. Do you mind coming back until I find our next pilot? We're trying to interview guys. We're trying to get somebody in here. That's when you say, well, wait a minute. You know, what we could do here is I can take care of this airplane for you, and we can do it way cheaper than you can hire somebody.
Right.
Let's set up a meeting. Let's talk. And then you pitch him a monthly rate. The beauty of this whole thing is you're getting dough coming in every month, whether you fly his airplane or not.
Right.
And that was kind of the 40,000 foot overflight.
Yeah.
But Brian, that's how you can do it. But just a word of some caveats here. This is going to be very difficult to do, you know, as a, you know, somebody with minimal experience.
Yeah, this that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Just with a few hundred hours, I mean, you really have no clue. You have no idea what you don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why the title of this episode is so good, because this is kind of advanced things. People go, well, right, I want to be an airline pilot so I can make $400,000 a year. Well, you don't do that your first year, you know,
right,
or even your first, you know, several years. So same thing with corporate. But once you get involved in the machine and see how everything works, then, you know, all these opportunities arise as far as management, consulting, contract pilots, all this stuff. But yeah, Wyatt, you got to learn.
Goes back to all that stuff, that core stuff we're always talking about, Mike, not just taking action, but the networking stuff. You know, it may start off, if something as simple as getting a King Air job, sitting right seat, right, changing the radio frequency, you know, at 300 hours. And that leads you to knowing the other guy in the hangar that owns that CJ, and his pilot just got hired at the regionals. And, you know, the guy that owns the King Air and the CJ guy are buddies. And now you're in and you're off and running. You're off and running. It could be something that simple. So, but just to think that, I don't know. I do think this information's valuable.
I do too. And this is not something that's extremely rare in the business, just so people know right. what Sean does and what he's talking about. I don't do it that way, but there are, I know several pilots that manage airplanes, right? So in the aircraft management is extremely common. So you have owners that buy airplanes, and then of course what everybody thinks is they hire pilots and handle everything in-house. That does exist. But there's also owners that want an airplane, but they don't understand the intricacies of how to hire a pilot or how, what to pay them or how to staff it correctly and the maintenance and all that stuff. So they hire management companies to do what Sean is saying he can do for owners, and they pay large fees. So the way you negotiate as a pilot is you know, you're like, look, I can buy it, fly it, and comply it. So I'm you're paying me what you would pay a management company, but I can also fly the plane too. So it's actually a better deal for you, you know. And you see guys that are AMP mechanics that also do this stuff. So in their pitch, the owner is like, not only can I manage the plane, but I can manage the maintenance, and you know, I can also do some wrenching on it. And then there are some pilots, corporate pilots I've seen that are pilots and AMPs. And they can manage and do all that stuff. So, you know, there's a wide range of it's not a one size fits all thing here, you know?
Right. Yeah. And it's, you know, I guess what I was trying to say before with, you know, getting out there, I wasn't trying to like make it sound impossible, but, you know, just as a low time pilot, your first thing may be just to, if this is really where you see yourself going, just, you know, concentrate on getting in that corporate world and learning how all the gears turn. And yep. then when you see that opportunity come up, you know, pounce on it. Because I don't know that if you got the guy who, you know, you got like a King Air 90 under contract or something, you know, I mean, this is, you know, that could be too low of a starter to even live on. Right. I don't know. The opportunity is definitely out there for somebody that wants to hustle. And
for sure.
And
sure.
If you're able to put together deals and understand how things work and make it provide value to these people, you know, because these guys have probably dealt with contract guys before. You know, if you want to be the contract guy who shows up wearing a pair of shorts and a t-shirt to the job, you know, they're probably not going to call you again. You know,
right.
But if you're the guy who dresses properly and takes care of them, maybe makes a nice little presentation back in the cabin with some bottles of water and napkins next to them, and maybe steal some of Delta's Biscoffs and set them there next to the cup holder. you know, that stuff goes a long way with these owners, and they might want to have you back out. And if your management fees are less than what they were planning on paying an employee anyway, well, yeah. Why wouldn't they go that route? I mean, everybody wins.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so just to kind of put a bow on this episode, the purpose is that, you know, you're watching this and you're struggling between, it sounds like a lot of people, they prefer to go the corporate route, but they're like, well, look at, because, you know, they like the glamour of it and they want to fly business jets and business people. But they're like, my gosh, the money is so much better in the airlines long term. This episode is just to kind of give you some other options. Well, maybe, you know, it is true. But there are some things as you advance in your career as a corporate pilot that you can do. And, you know, not to mention our other really famous video that we, popular video, I shouldn't say famous video, but it was, is the side hustles. Sometimes the amount of free time that you have as a corporate pilot is way higher. So it's not just opportunities in aviation. Like Brian here is running a successful landscaping company in Memphis. Right. Maybe it's possible that he still partially runs that company. Well, he has a full-time job as a corporate pilot, which he could never do if he was, you know, flying based in Newark, flying for, you know, a large carrier. So yep. That, you know, it's just all things to think about.
Yep. Yeah.
Great.
Both great questions. And I don't know. I like this episode. This is
yeah, it's good. So yeah, keep the video questions coming, and
yes, please.
You know, Yeah,
email them to podcast@propilotplaybook.com. Yeah.
Yep, and we always enjoy talking to you. We'll hopefully be back every week now with a new episode. We've got some new stuff coming. We got a lot of great episode ideas that we're working on. It's just finding the time to get everything filmed and everything in this heavy spring flying program. We just rolled out some new products on our website to check out. A lot of coaching options are on there. So go to propilotplaybook.com.
And then, of course, guests on a couple other people's shows.
Yeah, yeah. We're getting lots of requests, and we're actually picking and choosing who to go on as guests. But and then check out our live coaching. If you haven't seen that on our website, it has really been a huge hit, where you can actually get on a Zoom call once a week with us and other pilots just like you, and we all kind of interact and bounce ideas off of each other, and it's really neat. So that's at propilotplaybook.com. But until next time, thank you for watching, and please pound the like button. Thanks a lot.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Bye-bye.